Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on?
Rob, you have Dwayne Peoples, Pat, Phil, Jeanette, Lori, and Sean are all here.
Wow.
I don't know that any of the leaders
from
managers are they're in another meeting, so it'll just be us today, I believe.
Well, terrific. Well, good. Good. So, what's on your mind?
Well, where we were just now was trying to better understand the five-star, the planning, sales, marketing, implementation service, and leadership, and how to assign those roles when there's overlap or not a real clear understanding as to what tasks each is really responsible for. So maybe you could help us drill down on that.
Sure. Before we do that, how did we do on our homework?
The homework, determine your minimum number of assets, define your ideal client, introduce Supernova to the first 20%, identify two niche, and build a potential center of influence. Speaking for myself, I think the minimum number of assets, we kind of agree as a firm, we're at 586 right now as an average household, right? And if we cull this down to the list we prefer, we're at $1 million.
Roughly. To a million.
The ideal client relationship, I think, is a more complex family or business with a net worth in the $5 million range, and we're targeting $2 million as the preferred minimum, but our advertised or marketed minimum would be $1 million, as you suggest. Patty's probably done the most talking to prospective clients on integrating this process, so why don't you tell him what your experience has been?
Yeah, so I actually scheduled three because I was just talking with them about a service matter, and I told them we could be doing, I really feel like we need to be speaking more frequently, and we really feel like it's important to provide them this better level of service through, you know, the more frequent phone calls. And I'd like to do 12 scheduled calls with them a year, and could we book the first one? And they all said, thank you. They were all giddy with joy. So I didn't say the whole entire thing, but I hope to say it as I get to know it better each time, you know? So I have three
Correct.
Scheduled already for December that I'm going to be talking with. They
well,
all said
perfect.
Thank you. They were all very excited.
And I had an experience that I'll just take 2 minutes to explain. I was presenting this to a center of influence talking about the type of service model we're working into, and he brought up a mutual colleague that he shares and that I share, and he spoke to him in rather glowing terms, mostly because he's very specific about who he brings into his practice. And there's something about the perceived exclusivity about being a client of this person that my center of influence is duly impressed by. He doesn't negotiate his fees. It is what it is, and if you don't like it, you need to find somebody else who will do it for a flexible structure, which he also seemed to represent the strength of the product that the person's offering to his client. And I think all of those characteristics you've assigned to this program, either as intentional or unintended consequences, but certainly there's a perception in the universe that not taking everybody's business is the group of people to whom you'd like to be a member.
Yep. Everybody wants to be a member of the club they can't get in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like Groucho.
I noticed another interesting thing. So I made a list of the top 20 clients in each FA's number. And I
right.
noticed that the top 20 clients for each FA number produce more than half of the production for each FA, which is fascinating.
Oh, yeah. The 80-20 rule.
Yeah. Fascinating.
So I think we're working in the right direction, but we're now at the point where the file folders are here. And we're in the process of making space in the branch to move our current client folders to make room for these. And so we're ready to start building out the folders, I think, in the month of December. And we've sort of set an emotional or structural start of January 1st to really put this into practice. We have rescheduled our call with Cindy for 2 weeks from now so that we can go back over the planning software, and presumably we can get that up to speed pretty quickly. But right now, other than assigning the vice president tasks, I think we've done everything you've asked us to do.
Well, one of the things from the forensic diagnostic of your top 20 or 30 clients, we wanted to come up with any niches. So I don't want to leave that until if you haven't done it, fine, but it's something that we want to do because I need that in order to help you in that particular area.
So go ahead, Patty.
I can think of two. I was looking at my centers of influence that are also clients.
Yep.
And so there's two local companies where I think my centers of influence have influence and have been thinking of us in, and one of them is the local power company, Pennsylvania Power and Light. And the other one is Guardian Life Insurance Company. There's a lady there who's been very nice about, you know, telling her colleagues about us. So those are two niches.
So Patty has those two corporate niches, but she has an outstanding source of a referral who's a sitting magistrate judge who has been very, very gracious in pushing clients to Patty. So that's from a referral perspective, you know, been really a good source.
She does send us the bank robbers and murderers.
Right.
So from a natural niche, for me, you know, Patty and I belong to a fairly large church. The church has asked me to do a number of financial programs over the year, and starting in January for 13 weeks, to take a very more sophisticated dive into financial planning and all the things that we do professionally through to most of the congregation, which is about 800 families. So there's an interesting opportunity there. That's kind of the natural niche. From a professional niche, this gentleman I was just talking about is the chairman of a local company who is the economic development center for this particular region, which is the third largest region in the state of Pennsylvania and probably the eighth largest development region in the country right now. So he's got tremendous resources, and when he has his annual meeting, 700 of the top employers show up and listen to him talk for 3.5 hours. So he's a professional one. Speaking for Sean, if I may, now Sean's not quite on the team because he's in a dual role right now, but we think in another 3 or 4 months he'll be able to make that transition. Sean is a professional athlete, having played professional football. So he has a lot of contacts within the sports arena, existing contacts in athletic departments, college coaches, and ancillary activities that help him build a sports-related book of business. That's his personal niche, and then he's going to, as our team member, help us handle some of the 4-1s, because we're still struggling with that, I think, what do we call them?
Butlers.
We're still struggling with the butler in a practical way. I know you said that they should only be the children and the immediate reports to higher-level clients, but we seem to have not quite the courage to get rid of everybody. So we're kind of leaning towards Sean to help us manage those inside the group. But that's Sean's natural niche, Patty's natural niche. Phil, I can't speak for you.
My natural niche is very simple. Old folks. No, seriously. No, I'm serious. All right, I'm 70 years old, and as you know, FAs tend to have a book that's within 5 to 10 years of their own age, either side of their age. And I was just looking at the top 20, and every one of them is over 65, with maybe one exception, and probably 16 or 17 of those 20 are already retired. So, no, my niche is old folks, but by working with Pat and Dwayne, the idea is to get those old folks butlers.
Well, and I'd like you to do a little more than that, Phil. You know, I'd like you to look and see where they all retired from, what they had in common, where they originally came from.
Yeah, well, I can answer that. Most of the retirees came from Bethlehem Steel, which went bankrupt about 15 years ago.
Okay.
So
where else?
Pardon me?
Where else?
Where else? That's probably where the biggest part of my practice came from was that, you know.
But some of these people I'm talking about are Phil's clients that he's been introducing to us, like a lot of the Pennsylvania Power and Light lady that's been talking us up.
Yeah.
She's Phil's client. And actually, Phil is kind of reaping because all these years he's been really faithful about he's been making phone calls to people very regularly, even if there was nothing happening, and sending cards and things. So people that haven't had any activity for a long time, they have an activity and they think of him. So they call. And he's gotten some referrals and things. So I just think he's just reaping from a whole career's worth of staying in communication.
Sure.
So let's just say that it's a very mature book. Any work we do on that book going forward will bring the age down and will essentially plant seeds for the rest of the team.
And I think just developing that thought a little bit more, you know, so Phil's book is, let's say, $90 or $100 million, and if we spent the next year or two as he plans his own exit, strengthening through this 12-4-2 process and possibly giving such a great new or revised or updated service model that we do get to the second generation, then his niche really is his book of business and making sure that it's solid and a dependable source of his retirement buyout package and growth within the family units.
That's great. Phil, did you have, I mean, I'm sure you had CPAs, attorneys, trust attorney, you know, other people, estate planning attorneys, commercial realtors.
I have worked with, but not as successfully as I would have wanted.
Okay.
You know, which is to say, in some cases, the attorneys I've worked with, it's been a one-way street, leaving me to them.
Well, we're gonna spend some time on that. And so one of the things that you can do is say, look, here are the relationships that we have with this attorney. We've given him a lot of business over the years. He's not a competitor. You know, he doesn't have a brokerage firm or anything. We want to meet the next generation attorney. We want to meet the next generation CPA. We want to meet the next generation. So who's taking over for your guys where you've paid your dues in terms of building the relationships, but we want to change the game. You know, we want this to be a mutually beneficial arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe their partners aren't, you know, what we're looking for. But
well,
it's a good place to start.
One of the things I'm seeing is two of the attorneys that I have worked with most often, they're beginning to leave their practices and they've brought their children in as, you know, successor practitioners.
Yep.
And so it's not a bad thing to sit down with the guys I know and introduce myself and Pat and Dwayne to their children, much as we
right.
would do. So, you know, I'm thinking of Stan or Tim and Stan's son and nephew are now pretty much the business. And Tim's son is in the business.
Stan Vasiliadis.
Yeah. He's he's of counsel now. He's not really running the practice. You know, his son and Dennis are pretty much the practitioners there. You know.
So that brings us to our five-star model, which has a bunch of advantages. One, it maximizes the leverage of our own team to help each other, but it also creates a great format for which to introduce ourselves. So instead of just introducing ourselves as, you know, three FAs, we introduce ourselves as a five-person team or more that are diverse in terms of our roles and responsibilities and specialize in different areas and are incredibly well organized and efficient in our roles. That's a very impressive presentation. When
can you
do
say
it,
that again, please? Do you have that written down
someplace? No. I mean, it's just conversation, but we do record these calls, so that's
okay. Good.
That's the good news. So you don't really need to take notes if you want to listen. But the
yep.
basic idea is that you have diverse roles and responsibilities in order to leverage your team. Teams are great, but when they're just three FAs doing what you normally do, you bring no leverage of skill and talent. You know, one person's going to be much better at planning than everybody else. Another person's going to be much better at marketing than everybody else. Another person's going to be much better at developing a business plan or developing a investment model. So what we want to do is take the talents that we have, grow them, but have people spend more of their time with their strength, therefore leveraging what they do best and having them have more fun because that's what they like to do, okay? So we've really made it very clear and tried to encompass everything that's critical to the success of a team into these five stars. The number one thing where teams fail is in the end, lack of accountability. And it's human nature. You know, we're pleasure seekers. We don't like confrontation. We want to have a good time. We don't like to work. We'd rather have fun. But we've learned through deferred gratification that life is better when we do things that aren't necessarily the most fun, but pay off in the long run. Investing money is a hard thing for people to do because it's deferred gratification, right? We're going to defer for our entire life until we retire to take this money out, but in doing so, it grows. Well, that's just one example. I mean, so in terms of teams, we're going to work together. We're going to do a good job in our area, but then be more dependent on the other person doing their job, and in so doing, leverage up our ability to get the whole task done. And we're willing to take some accountability and responsibility for what we do. And that's when teams are great.
Rob,
and,
as I was actually working on who would be best in different roles, of course, we'll all sit down and say, well, Phil, you said I would be best, but no, I wouldn't. Dwayne would be best or whatever. There's one role here that I think is very clear who it is, and that's the service. And that's the CSA. That's Lori or Lori and Jeanette, because they're mm-hmm. going to be responsible for making the appointments, setting us up, making sure we're on schedule and so forth. Am I right on that?
Implementation, right?
The same thing, service and implementation.
Implementation.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you guys can, you know, you can be creative as you want. Typically, you know, we have the leader of the team be the leader. But in a group that I just worked with a few minutes ago, the leader took on the role of brand manager. I mean, that was kind of interesting. I'd never had that happen. The biggest producer, the one that brought the team together, is now in charge of brand management, which is service. Okay? That was a shock to me. So, you know, planning is pretty simple. The person that's, you know, the best planner is in charge of planning. That doesn't mean they do all the planning. They just are responsible for making sure everybody gets a plan, how often are plans redone, updated, et cetera, the quality of the planning experience, make sure it's consistent, and so forth. Then director of implementation, it's implementation of the planning process. That's both asset management, liability plan management, and then the 24-month calendar. Somebody asked me, why wouldn't that go under brand management? And the 24-month calendar is really how we're implementing some of the more difficult parts of the planning process. So we create a 24-month calendar with 8 new topics. Many of them are recurring, and we do them for 2 months each. That's why we make it a 24-month calendar rather than a 12-month. So when we introduce, say, for example, liability management, let's say we did it in March, we introduced it in February, we do the training for that, then we introduce it in March, and then we hopefully finish up the work in April. So let's say out of 100 clients that we called on liability management, you know, 4 needed mortgages and 6 needed lines of credit based on securitized loans. So now we've got 10 activities we've got to get done. We can't do them immediately. We don't want to have another new topic right away. So we give ourselves 2 months to get that work done, so March and April. And that would be typical. You make up any calendar you want. We give you an example, but the person in charge of implementation would be in charge of that particular aspect of implementation.
So the software that we're going to review with Cindy in 2 weeks, that's this person. That's the calendar, the keeper of the calendar.
Well, in this case, the 24-month calendar would be built by the director of implementation, and then the director of brand management would run the calendar itself.
That's good, actually.
Do you have that model in the workbook, or is that?
Yeah, it's in the Supernova Multiplier in detail. It's in the.
Okay.
It's in all three books. And it's also in the workbook, and I talk about it on the video.
Okay.
The most detailed is in the Multiplier, is in the Supernova Multiplier, the newest book.
Okay. The way I look at all of this is, as a team, while each of us will have an area or an overlapping area of responsibility, we as a team have to agree on a lot of this or it ain't going to happen. So if we April, May is lending, then we all have to agree that April, May is lending.
Is it like that, that everybody's talking about lending the same month?
Absolutely. That's correct.
Okay.
All right. Otherwise,
yes.
You know, otherwise we're off in different directions.
So what happens when we have RMD month and clients aren't there?
You do something else.
With that client.
Yeah, you do something else with that client. So that would be automatically put on everybody's agenda. But if you don't have anything to talk about with RMD, then you just skip it.
Yeah. But I was putting together this morning a whole thing on taxes. And, you know, taxes are April 15th, so I'm thinking – January, February is tax time to do things like getting approvals for us to send information to the accountants.
Right.
Talking about, did you do your IRA contribution for last year. Do you have a simple or a SEP where you can still fund them? You know, there's probably a dozen different things that we can go over having to do with taxes in the first 2 months. And then next year, we pull it into November, December when we look at tax loss selling and things like that. So we could do taxes in two steps. One, what do we do at the beginning of the year? And one, what do we do at the end of the year?
And if you look at my sample, it's pretty close to that. I mean, I have a bunch of things on there, but I tried to keep in mind the, you know, what is calendar-driven events?
Mm-hmm.
RMD tax selling, you know, January typically is the outlook for the year. So you might want to have, you know, an economist or a conference call or whatever you want. But, you know, I tried to keep in mind April 15th and I sort of built the calendar out that way, but it's no more than an example. It's nothing more than that. You can do anything you want when you want, but just experience tells me you don't want to have too many things, too many new topics, because you just don't want to be overwhelmed. So that's why we typically give you 2 months for each topic.
Yeah, when I write the newsletter, I try to keep in mind those same things, so that our November newsletter had to do with Medicare premium planning, which is if you earn too much money this year, you're going to be in trouble 2 years from now. And as it happens, when I opened the Wall Street Journal on Saturday, they had the same idea in there. So I'm probably on target. And then, you know, we want to look at December and say to people, gee, you know, what's happening? Now, it doesn't affect a lot of people, but the people it affects, they complain mightily about, why am I paying $400 when my neighbor's paying $135?
I know. Trust me, it's annoying. Fortunately, it's a good problem in the sense that you're making the money. It's just annoying that you're forced into, no matter how you get the money, tax-free bonds, whatever, they still throw you into the higher, quote, higher bracket.
But some years ago, I went home after seeing my CPA and said to my wife, congratulations, we're rich. And she said, what do you mean? I said, we pay the rich tax.
We do.
AMC, which you remember was named at the top 200 people in America who didn't pay taxes.
So in our final minutes together, assess where you think we are in our development towards launching.
Oh, you're fine.
Should we be launching like now?
That's what I'm saying. We should be building folders and getting on with it.
Yeah. Well, and I think maybe the folders, yeah. Do we have folders?
Yeah.
Okay, so we want to get on that. So we want to make that a thing. So we're going to build folders.
I'm getting the impression that when we hang up the phone, we're going to completely redefine those five roles. Is that a violation of all things right and normal?
No, that's absolutely normal.
Okay.
Yeah, and I want you to really think about it. And then I want you, see, once you build the role out, then I want you to write it up and say, okay, this is my role. This is where, you know, I'd like to be by the end of 2020. This is where we are now, and this is how we're going to get there. And these are the obstacles I have to overcome in order to get there. And really own the role.
Rob, two other quick things. One, I have been trying to get into some things on the website. They kept asking for a password. I have no idea what our password is. Jeanette sent an email to Lori. If you are talking to her, would you have her get back to Jeanette and let us know how to get into those parts of the website? And secondly,
I think you can get in there. You have a password, and as long as you're a client, you have a password. So just email Lori or Cindy, and they'll give you the password if they haven't given it already.
And the last thing is, I have one minor disagreement with you. We should not have five VPs. We should have five VPs and a king.
There you go.
Perfect. And the king should be Pat, huh? Except she's a queen. No, just to back up a second, make as much progress as you can in terms of your experience. So, because then we have more to talk about. You know, if you had, we have signed up 5 clients, I've spoken to them. They like it. One of them doesn't want to be called 12 times. They want to be called 4 times. Then I tell you why you should call them 12 times and what is your argument for doing that, et cetera. So the more we can have experience in terms of doing the activities, the more success we'll have. So if you need to fire some people, go ahead and fire them. If you need to explain the good news of Supernova, practice the script and then launch it now. Don't wait, because it's just procrastination. You know, you know enough to launch it, even if you get the words not perfectly. But again, establish the rationale for why you're calling. You know, we're you know, tell the truth, what it is. We're busy, right? The good news is we're successful. The bad news is we're too busy, and we don't want to neglect anyone, and we want to consistently deliver a great client experience. As time goes on, the business has gotten more complicated. It's changed dramatically. We deliver a different client experience than we have in the past, and so we hired a consultant to help us. He simply analyzed our practice and said, you know, we both came to the conclusion that this is the level of service that we are committing to. And what is it? Multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? Sounds fabulous. How can you do that? Because we're going to have less than 100 clients each. That's wonderful. How much more does it cost? It doesn't cost anything more for you because you're paying us a fee already. And for the people that you're going to reassign, it's simply, you know, at this point, we're going to keep less than 100 clients just because we just don't have any more time. And our minimum fee is going to be $10,000, and at this point, your situation doesn't warrant that kind of a fee. So we'd like to, we think it's best that you be assigned to a person that is a professional that you're going to love, and that I've told them to treat you like family, and here's the person that you're going to be assigned to. And boom, you give them away, and they're happy, and you're happy, and you move on. Not easy calls, but the quicker you do them, the more succinctly you do them, the better things go. And don't apologize for what you're doing. What you're doing is what everybody does in life. They always have to move on. Your business has gotten more complicated. You deal with more complicated situations, and you charge more because you have to.
I found that when I tried to implement parts of this in the past, the easiest thing was to sit down with Mr. and Mrs. Jones, who didn't meet the minimum, and say, you know, we really can't do what you need done for you. And they always left happy.
Right. Right. I mean, and when we look ourselves in the mirror and say, are we really giving these clients the best experience, you know, when we don't call them, except every 6 months, it's not the best experience, right? So, So anyway, the answer is go as quickly as you can without making yourselves crazy. Okay?
Good.
All right.
Perfect. Thank you.
We'll get on it.
Good.
We'll talk next
Happy
week.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Talk to you next
Thank
week.
You.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.